Our reading today, if you open up your order of services, is from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21, and it is the parable of the rich fool. Luke 12, 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable: the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." You know, we all have desires in life. We all desire things in all sorts of ways. And in fact, some of our desires that we have in life actually are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. Some of our deepest desires are things like sort of pleasure, joy, belonging, safety, even excitement. In fact, the moment that we are born to the moment that we die, we need some of the above desires that I've just mentioned. And yet what happens in the world we live in today is that often our desires become molded by what the world thinks will make us happy. And so the advertisers come along, and at a young age, they put all sorts of ideas into our heads. In fact, this has been a recent thing in the past couple of years in children's TV, where the advertisers are getting pulled up for it now. The advertising agency or standards are saying, no more, because mums and dads are getting pestered. Because what the children are seeing is what they want. And at a young age, all sorts of ideas are being put in their heads. What starts happening at a young age is that we start coveting. And we start becoming greedy for possessions. We think, and in fact we've become fooled into thinking, that to be truly fulfilled and content will mean that we need more and more possessions. We think it's the key to happiness. Well, as we look at this passage today, what's going on here is that Jesus, who has been teaching the disciples, is interrupted by a man who wants Jesus to settle a family dispute. And guess what the dispute's about? It's a dispute over an inheritance. It's a dispute about money. You know, isn't it interesting? I don't know if you've ever been around a lawyer's table when the will is getting announced, when a loved one has died. And instead of the focus being on the loved one, the focus is on, what's my share? What am I about to get? How come you're getting this and I'm not getting that? It's a horrible, horrible situation to witness or to see. Well, this man wanted Jesus, because that was the custom in those days. The rabbis were quite often called into family disputes to settle them. And Jesus at that time was viewed by the Jews as like a rabbi. And he wanted Jesus to bring a solution to this problem. The man came to Jesus thinking that Jesus would have influence in sorting out his earthly matter in order that he'd get his worldly gain. Well, the man failed to see the greater importance was not on his worldly gain, but on his spiritual condition. Furthermore, Jesus immediately discerned the man's heart. And the man's heart was not for salvation, but it was for possessions and for his share in those possessions. You see, the man had a problem, and a lot of us have this problem, and it's called greed. The man coveted possessions. To covet doesn't only mean to desire someone else's property. It also means to desire to possess more than we already have. That was this man's problem. And so Jesus here tells a powerful parable of the rich fool to drive home the point that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions, because possessions will not give you eternal life. In fact, possessions will not even give you joy and peace in this life. Actually, can I suggest to you that at times they actually give you anxiety? This parable actually teaches that the more we store up for ourselves, the more we become spiritually poor. Instead of relying on God, we rely on ourselves and we rely on our possessions that we have. We don't think about God. We think we have no need for Him because we rely on our own abilities to make as much as we can without thinking about our soul and where we're headed for. The rich man in this parable was just like that. In fact, he was doing so well for himself that he ran out of space to store up all his possessions. And so what does he decide to do? Well, we read here that he decided to tear down his barns and build bigger ones. Instead of giving them away, instead of giving his possessions away, what does he do? Well, he builds these bigger ones in verse 18 to store up all his possessions. The man thought he was secure. And yes, on the surface, he gives the outward impression that he is secure. On the surface, people perceive that, wow, he's got it all. He's got his life made. It's interesting to note in this parable, look how many times in this story that Jesus uses the word I. The word I here, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he says, this is what I'll do. 6 times the man uses the word I. The man's greed was all about him and no one else. Thinking he was secure, that night in verse 20, God takes him. And what happens? Well, he can't take his possessions with him. He can't take all that he's accumulated. He leaves with nothing. Yet we fail to see the importance of our eternal destiny. Instead, we want more like the man in the parable. We want to become richer. We want even more possessions because we're fooled into thinking it will bring satisfaction. It will bring happiness. Some today may say, what's the harm in a bit of greed? What's the harm in coveting something? Well, can I suggest to you that the thief didn't just wake up one day and decide to become a thief? Something inside him made him want more than he already had. The banker in the city didn't just decide to wake up one morning and make more bonuses. Something inside him drove him to make more. All our actions are a result of our desires. It's only when we start to examine our actions towards the desires that we have, then we can start to deal with them. Greed breeds exploitation and unrest. Look at what's going on just now with the whole issue to do with the credit crunch. Now, I'm not hugely knowledgeable as to what went on exactly in the banking sector. But it seems pretty obvious to me that it was greed that drove the banks to their knees. What was once one of the most wealthiest businesses and one of the most profitable businesses, the Royal Bank of Scotland, fell to its knees last year. Why? Greed. Mismanagement. But the key to it all was greed. And if you work for the Royal Bank of Scotland, well, I don't apologise, because that's what was going on. That's what's going on in some of the other banks. This desire to make more and more and more. At the end of 1999, when we were about to enter into the millennium, there was a massive rush to finish the Millennium Dome. The last few months, it was touch and go whether it was going to be ready or not. And you know that the government were all set on this Millennium Dome was to be the key, landmark for London and for the whole of the UK, and there was going to be huge celebrations on the night of the millennium. Well, do you know what happened months before the millennium, before the year 2000 came? Key workers threatened to go on strike unless they were paid £18,000 a week just to finish the job. £18,000 a week. Some of us here don't even earn that in a year. But just to finish the job. As a society, we become outraged when we hear people making vast sums of money, do we not? Yet would we be so outraged if it was ourselves getting the money? You know, last year somebody, and I'm relatively new to Aberdeen, and so I didn't know much about the oil game and all the oil-related businesses here in Aberdeen, and certainly I'm completely out of touch with what people in the oil industry earn. But last year a chap sat down and said to me, "Barry, I need some help." And I said, sure, what is it?" "Well, I've been offered a job and I'm not sure whether I'm going to take it or not." And I said, "All right, okay, what's the problem?" "Well, the problem is, wait for it, it's only paying £32,000 a month." "Right, and that's the problem." "Well, you know, that's great that £32,000 a month is, I don't even earn that in a year." Where are we going wrong? And then you say to me, "That's outrageous. That's ridiculous." But that's just one example of greed that I've given you. We all at times have greed in our heart. We all at times have issues to do with covetousness. And only you can answer that, and only I can answer that. Yet 94% of people who've played the lottery in the hope that it would get them to, in the hope that they would win the jackpot, and yet the odds to win the lottery are 13,983,816 to one, and yet 94% of people have played the lottery. Almost 14 million to one. Many people who play it say, "Well, it's just a bit of fun." Really? That's nonsense. It's not just a bit of fun. It's quite simple in that we want the money. We want to be rich. We think the money will help us and give us our dreams. Did you know this, that over 90% of jackpot winners who've won over £1 million, wait for it, 90% of jackpot winners continue playing the lottery? You see, it's not enough. At the root of it all, mankind is greedy. At one time, John Rockefeller was the richest man in the world, and he was asked the question of, how much does it take for a person to be really satisfied? The grim answer he came back with was, just a little more. Money fails to refresh the desert of the human heart. As we read earlier, the man's gain in the parable was temporary. In fact, they're not real riches. The man thought they were, but suddenly, without any warning, God took him, and when we die, God calls us to account for what we've done with our lives. Today, a number of people have a real fear about the future and how they'll manage and will I have security. It's often in our fears that we focus on making money and becoming greedy as we think it will bring us security. What we actually do is that we take our life into our own hands. And in doing so, we don't even consider the need for God in our lives. Just like in the parable of the rich man. Yet Jesus goes on to teach, as you follow on this particular story, Jesus goes on to teach in his next section of this chapter about not worrying. Jesus in the Bible constantly encourages people time and time again to trust in God. Because God is faithful and true. If he looks after the birds of the air, of course he'll look after you and me. When we put our trust in him. Therefore, we need to learn to be content. But we can't do it in our own strength. We need Christ at the helm of our lives. We need to let God in order that we can learn contentment, true contentment. God wants you. But you know what? God has given you and me a free will. You decide whether or not you want him. But here's the amazing thing. He not only wants you, but he wants to help you, and he wants to bring contentment, true contentment, into your life. But you have a free will to choose. In closing, to ask you a question, will you let him in? Because when we let him in, he promises something amazing. For all of us, he promises to give us a new heart, a new spirit. He removes our heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. A heart transplant takes place within our lives when we surrender our wills and our lives to him. Our desires, greed, and selfishness are replaced with God-given desires, no longer living our lives according to ourselves. Will you let him in? Are you tired of the rat race about making money and constantly thinking just alone about yourself? Come to God. Find true contentment this day. Let's pray.